Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, and we are back in our favorite place, talking about the things of God, talking to you all who have joined us today. Thank you for that. And others join along the way. This has been quite a journey for me, as about 3 years ago, the Lord nudged me to begin to speak into the current situations we're in and have a voice in the spiritual world or the spirit of the age we're in. And so I began to do that. And this is 629 times plus about 50 Sundays. So we've been having some good times doing these things the Lord has called us to do. And thank you for joining us today. I'm George Watkins. And today I want to talk about some of the foundational strengths that keep us solid through the years. And I want to take it out of the life of David again. I love to visit Ziglag. What an example of David's character and his ability to stand fast. And it's in the story of Ziglag and in 1 Samuel 30. We'll do that as we go through our broadcast today. But it's encouraging to know that there are foundational stones, foundational foot pads, as it were, where we can stand. And the scriptures tell us, after you've done everything to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. One of the ways that we get into error in the Christian world, the spiritual world, and scripturally, is we start to reason. We reason things out. Well, if God did this, he would do that. It's a dangerous trip or a journey to get on, is having our human reasonings involved in God's thinking, God's planning, God's business. And one of the things that's happening now in this age we're in, this current challenge we're in, is that we're trying to reason God's thinking. What is he doing with us? What is America coming to? What is the political scene? The political scene is just so upside down. If you've lived longer than 10 days, that's a little stretch. But if you've been around a while, you have to see the challenges that are going on in the political scene, which affect our social scene, which affects our church and spiritual life, our freedoms. So how do we live? How do we push forward? How do we overcome in days like this? How does it happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happens. It happens in the same way that every saint of God, every man and woman that lived by the word, lived by faith, lived by the anointing, has done it in the past. And just as a heads up for our younger crew, and also some of us that have forgotten, that there's been places and times in life that have been far worse than us. Take just a snapshot of our society and the enlightened world we live in, and the most of the earth, a lot of the earth. I know there's dark spots, and there's remote spots, and there's nations that are very, very stuck in poverty or locked into darkness. But the world 1,000 years ago, you wouldn't be able to comprehend it. 500 years ago, 200 years ago, even in our own America, gospel has brought light and change and difference. that is just something we can't understand. For instance, in the early days of America, when they locked someone up that was mentally unstable, they put them in a almost like a jail or a cage. And you could go down on the weekend or anytime, I suppose, and pay a little fee and go in and watch the quote unquote crazies and laugh and point. Now, that was in the 1700s, early 1700s. The gospel and the revelation of the light of Jesus Christ has brought us into an age and a place and a world where that's just not tolerated anymore. We don't do that anymore. Now, you take the whole division of classes and cultures, and especially politics, but the world tries to divide us by our tribes and cultures and skin color. When you get into a Christian fellowship that has the Holy Spirit cooking, there is a salad. I mean, we pastored in California, in Southern California, Wilmington, great charismatic church. And it was a mixture of people from every generation and every culture. That's what Christianity does. That's what the light of God does. It brings us into a place where we walk in, we're enlightened, that's not the right word, but we're illuminated, that's a better word, in truth. So this age we're living in is tough, and there's things going on. But some of our younger people have never encountered problems. They haven't had a nation that's been challenged. And so they get into a educational university, or even our schools now, and the educators in our schools are out of the universities, and they're pumping into our young people fantasies about utopia. If we could just get rid of this government, if we could get rid of our Christian structure that holds us back from being free. There's no such thing as sin, and we, you know, God is not real. All those things stir up and ignite this young generation that has never suffered cultural problems. Oh, yes, I know there's home problems, and there's terrible things that happen on the personal level, and I don't... I certainly sympathize and have compassion for that. But as a nation, we have been in the lap of luxury for a long time. Now, why do I say that? Because I want you just to see with me for a moment the foundational things that happen and that have to be there when real trouble comes. And real trouble came to King David. Well, he wasn't king yet. Well, he was. He was anointed king, but he hadn't got into his throne room yet. That's a good point to segue off into a moment. He was anointed king. So in God's sight, he was already king. He just didn't have the throne or the palace. You and I walk in that same spot, don't we? We are what God says we are. And many of us haven't seen the evidence of it. And if we're trying to see the evidence, if that's what our faith is locked into or at least stimulated by, then we're continually looking for some kind of evidence to prove that God is real, or to prove that we're a prophet, or to prove that we are actually, in some cases, saved or forgiven. Come on. One of the things the devil does and the enemy does is try to convince us that nothing happened at the altar. Whether it be salvation or healing or prophecy or whatever happens at the altar, as soon as we leave, the old voice comes to us and says, that wasn't real. Now, King David at at Ziglag. Now, here's the story again. You remember, he was on the run from King Saul, so it's bad times for him. Yet he's had a prophecy, and the prophecy by Samuel, the prophet, said, you're going to be king, and the oil poured over his head and down his robe. Okay, his brothers saw it, his dad saw it, and they witnessed it. Yet Saul had taken him in for a season, thought he was going to be a good supporter of Saul's kingdom. But he found out that David was actually going to be the king, and he tried to kill him. And he kept trying to kill him. So David took off and ended up working for the enemy on the down low. Well, he was kind of cheating a little bit because he wasn't really working for him. He was hiding among them. And in the short of the story, when you read 1 Samuel 30, they became suspicious, and so they sent him home. They didn't want him to fight against Israel. They were afraid he would turn on them. So as he comes to Ziglag, his hometown that they had given him for a place to live, it was burning with fire. All the family's gone, all the cattle, all the gold, all the children, they're all gone. Now, remember, he's got 600 killers, men that work with him. I mean, these guys are tougher than rawhide. And they come and they weep until there's no more tears. And then they decide to kill David. They say, well, we're going to kill you. You brought us here. If you've ever led people at any level, whether it be in the secular marketplace or the church, there's times when the leader becomes the enemy. It's just amazing. You hire somebody and they in a job, and they're so thankful. And then 2 weeks later, they're standing around the water cooler talking about how bad the boss is and what a jerk he is. That's human nature that needs to be redeemed, doesn't it? It happens in the church. Pastors are loved and hated sometimes in the same week. Well, here's David. Now, what did he do? He began to encourage himself in the Lord. And there's some qualities. Now, number one quality, David walked under a prophetic anointing. Number one, he walked under a prophetic anointing. Now, you may not have a prophet's hand on your head, but you have a prophetic anointing and a prophetic word and a prophetic command and promise out of the scriptures. So don't feel cheated if you haven't had a quote-unquote prophet come by and say, thus saith the Lord, because you are walking under the prophecies and the promises of God. So number one, David could stand because he remembered the promise, the prophecy, you're going to be king. So he knew he wasn't going to die today. Amen. Now, the second thing is, he had the character of a shepherd. He had patience. He had the character of a shepherd. He had patience. How do you do that? How does it work that you can have the character of a shepherd when you don't have a church, you don't have a flock following you, nobody's watching, listen, we have influence in a world around us, even if it's not face-to-face or with our voice. There's a spirit in us that brings peace. I want you just to keep a hold of that thought, because God says that you have influence in the world. You know, if you don't have a pulpit, if you don't have a broadcast, if you don't have a book you wrote, you have influence. And the biggest influence happens in your home, in your household, and in your family. Now, it goes from there. Of course, spreads out from there. But the influence we have is spiritual. So remember, you walk under a prophetic word and you have a character that has patience. We know God's word never fails. That's patience. We stand upon the word of God. That's patience, isn't it? So I encourage you to do that. Amen. Well, the third thing is he was a fighter of a righteous cause. He was a fighter of a righteous cause. If you don't have some fire in your belly for something, get it. You need to have a righteous cause. Now, I don't mean to be a, you know, some kind of agitator going around stirring problems, you know, getting people excited about hot air. But there is a foundational faith that you need to have a burn on. Jesus heals the sick. I know he heals the sick. Jesus forgives sinners. I know he, something in the kingdom that is, you know, light your fire. that's an old statement, I know, but something in the kingdom that lights your fire and gives you that grab. Now, David, when he got the word of the Lord, when David got the word of the Lord, they went after those suckers. God said, pursue, and you'll receive back all you ever lost. You'll get them back. There's some things in your life you need to pursue. You need to go for it. Maybe you've not had the Holy Spirit's language come to you, being filled with that wonderful baptism. Pursue it. Maybe there's some healings you need. Pursue it in the word and in prayer and get some hands laid on you. Maybe you've got some nagging failures that just condemn you. Pursue the word of God. And find out that you have been delivered from that. I tell you, you have to have a fighting spirit. And number four, he knew how to turn to the Lord for answers. Now, that's certainly not the last one, not listed as in rank. We need to turn to the Lord first, but he knew how to turn to the Lord. And the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. All right. So today in this world we're in, with all the craziness coming down the pike and all the promises of us being stomped out, taking away all of our freedoms, including our spiritual liberties. Can you imagine the California governor trying to clamp down and not allow the church to sing? Scripture tells us, the Bible tells us, God tells us, sing aloud. With a loud voice. So there's a time when you obey Caesar, and there's a time when you pay the Caesar's taxes and you do what he asks. But if it crosses our spiritual heritage, if it stops, if it tries to break our commands from heaven, then you and I need to be a fighter. We need to have the patience to stand on the word. We need to walk under that prophetic mantle and know that we have a promise, and we need to know God has that answer. Amen. Well, thank you for spending some time with me today. It's a good day when we can rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I just am so blessed that we've had these seasons together. And today I pray for you again. I release the anointing over your life. I speak boldness and encouragement to you as you open up this day. This is a gift. Open it up like a Christmas package and see what God has in store for you. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for your comments and your sharing the broadcast with others. If God's nudged you to send us a gift, you can do that. Just on the show notes down below, there's a place to do that. Until tomorrow, God bless. See you then.